boat is fall down, they are still strong enough to traverse the heads of their enemies. We have actually seen that our Krishna consciousness movement has many opponents, such as the deprogrammers, who instituted a strong legal case against the devotees. We thought that this case would take a long time to settle, but because the devotees were protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we unexpectedly won the case in one day. Thus, a case that was expected to continue for years was settled in a day because of the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has promised in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya Pratijani Hiname Bhakta Pranashati, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. In history, there are many instances of devotees like Chitraketu, Indradyumna, and Maharaj Bharata, who circumstantially fell down but were still protected. Maharaj Bharata, for example, because of his attachment to a deer, thought of the deer at the time of death, and therefore in his next life he became a deer. Yamyam vapi svaram bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram. Because of protection by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, the deer remembered his relationship with the Lord and next took birth in a good Brahminical family and performed devotional service. Similarly, Chitraketu fell down and became a demon, Vritrasura, but he too was protected. Thus, even if one falls down from the path of Bhakti Yoga, one is ultimately saved. If a devotee is strongly situated in devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has promised to protect him, Kaunteya Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranashati. But even if a devotee circumstantially falls down, he is protected by Madhava. The word Madhava is significant. Ma, Mother Lakshmi, the mother of all opulences, is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and if a devotee is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the opulences of the Lord are ready to help him. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna Yatra Partha Danurdara Tatra Shir Vijayo Bhautir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Wherever there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and his devotee Arjuna Partha, there is victory, opulence, extraordinary power and morality. The opulences of a devotee are not a result of karma kanda vichara. A devotee is always protected by all the Supreme Lord's opulences, of which no one can deprive him. Tesham nityabhi yuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Thus, a devotee cannot be defeated by any opponents. A devotee, therefore, should not deviate knowingly from the path of devotion. The adherent devotee is assured all protection from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The text today is speaking about protection, the protection that the Lord gives to his devotees. And there's two things which we can discuss. One is the protection, and the other, because sometimes Srila Prabhupada says the key word in this text is. So there are some key points in this. For example, in this text, the keywords can be completely in love with you. So that's the definition of devotees. Okay. So the text is speaking about pure devotees. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is giving some examples which are also on a very devotees on a very high level. He's speaking about Maharaj Chitraketu, who is falling down. This is a long story. Actually, Maharaj Chitraketu is not falling down. He's just externally falling down. You have Bharata Maharaj, who was such a big king and such a huge personality. So you have the example of huge, huge devotees. We'll probably come back to this point about what it means to be a devotee and what is the references we should take for understanding that we're devotees. So then Srila Prabhupada speaks about this ISKCON case which was with the deep programmers. This was quite big in the US at that time. There were devotees were moving into the temple, and the parents of these devotees would hire someone who would kidnap the devotees. It's true, you know, like this is history. They would kidnap the devotees and they would bring them somewhere and try to deprogram them because they have been brainwashed. So then you can say, where was the protection? You know, like how is Krishna not protecting? And one thing, this protection thing is very often misunderstood, you know, like what does it mean that Krishna protects his devotees? Like I met this guy, he was from Ukraine, and he was thinking, he was telling me, like I tried to stop him, and in Sankirtan, and he was like telling me, "Yeah, I will believe in God when all the Russians will be killed." So he was serious about it, but quite angry. So he was thinking, "Oh, if God would exist, then there will be no bombing in Ukraine." And that's not the proper understanding. Of course, I couldn't explain anything. He just was saying this and just went away. So, sometimes we see protection from material point of view. Yeah, Krishna is protecting my body, Krishna is protecting my family, Krishna is protecting my wealth, Krishna is protecting my cake. I don't know. Krishna is protecting my external things. I will be Krishna conscious and I will not get sick. No, it's not true. Krishna is interested in only one thing, that you become more Krishna conscious. That's it. He's not interested if you're more, if you're richer, if you have a nicer wife, if you have a better TV. He's completely not interested. The only thing he wants to protect is your Krishna consciousness. So that's the most important thing Krishna wants to protect for his devotees. And his external circumstances, if it's useful, maybe. If you become my more Krishna conscious, sometimes in the beginning devotees have some this experience. Oh, I was chanting Hare Krishna and found 10 euros on the street. Oh, Krishna must be God. So, okay, you know, like there's nothing to do with it. But somehow... I was chanting Hare Krishna and I was getting a good mark on the exam. So yeah, it is. You know, like it can happen that in some cases, Krishna was providing this house for me. Krishna was providing this, and it might make us more Krishna conscious, more appreciated. Oh, okay, Krishna actually takes care. But also sometimes Krishna might see, oh, this he's too attached to this material stuff. So let's take it from him. So, how to say the long story short, he does the needful. Whatever helps you become more Krishna conscious, that's it. So protection is not to be understood from material point of view. Of course, Srila Prabhupada explains this term Madhava, that Krishna is Madhava. So Krishna is the husband of the goddess of fortune. So goddess of fortune has all the riches, and Krishna is her husband. So if Krishna is pleased, then the goddess of fortune will give everything. So you can see, especially for the mission of Krishna. Krishna will give everything. You will get everything you need. Of course, as Gandhi said, there's enough for everyone's need, not for everyone's greed. So he will give everything you need, not everything you want. So Anyway, that's other thing. So if we need something for Krishna, it will be provided. If we need something for our material desires, maybe. Maybe yes, maybe no. So this this thing that Krishna is providing can be also a first test. You know, like sometimes devotees, people come to Krishna consciousness because they are distressed. And they come to Krishna and Krishna is providing. Yes, okay, no more distress. Shanti, shanti, yeah. Peace, love, you know, good prasadam. Life is good. And then Krishna says, so, now what? Okay, you come to me because you are in distress. You wanted some material improvement. Now I give you. So, what are you going to do now? Simple, you know, like. And some people, some aspiring devotees, then after they get, they say, oh, thank you. It was pleasure doing business with you. I'll call you next time when next time when I'm in distress, I will be sure that I will be here. I will just come to ask you. So we might get in that, and some people was like, oh no, I still want to serve you. So, I was watching this short recording with His Grace Sri Bhuvanath Prabhu, and he was talking about daily Harinams they had in London. And I don't know if they have now, if they still have. But at that point in the beginning of the movement, they didn't have the question, today, is today Harinam? Yes, of course there is today Harinam. Is it raining? It's raining, it's snowing, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter, you know, like, they would just go for Harinam, and they would be like so fired up. Harinam Sankirtan ki joy, yeah! We want to do something to save the world. That was the mood, you know, like, and then, you know, with time, his observation was that with time there's some contamination coming up. It's more or less contamination, like even in goodness. In goodness you're like, yeah, life is good, have a good, nice position. I'm peaceful, I'm happy. You know, prasadam is good, I have a good place to sleep. So why bother? Yeah, today is Harinam, maybe. But maybe tomorrow is also good, you know, like, or next week, why not next week, you know, like, why this week, you know, this week we have. So, somehow, and also, so this kind of mentality comes up. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we're like, you know, like, we remember, oh, I was in such a mess, you know, my material life was such a mess, you know, like, such a mess, you know, like, and we're like, whatever I need to do, I will do it because I want to become Krishna conscious. And then, yeah, whatever, you know, yes, I can do this, but this, I don't know. So that this kind of mentality comes up, you know, like, we're completely fired up in the beginning, but then with time, we think like we're more or less. Shanti, shanti. Take our my own rhythm. Things. Yeah. And what happens then is that we somehow don't have this spiritual experience anymore. This bliss we had in the beginning, we don't have it anymore. And then we get into later. So actually, the whole process, our whole process is based on higher taste. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that you cannot control your senses without higher taste. You cannot. You can pretend that you control your senses, you can do so many things, but without higher taste, there will be problems. It's not that there might be problems. There will be problems. Jagadananda Pandit says that as soon as you turn your face from Krishna, Maya is there. Like, as soon as you turn away, you're not serving Krishna, immediately Maya is there. Hi, hi. You know, if you see Lomanchita Prabhu when he's in Sankirtan, he's like, hi, hi. So as soon as you forget Krishna, as soon as you don't think of Krishna, Maya is there. And she's like, hi, hi. How are you? Oh. Immediately. And then you're getting into these material modes. And in this material mode, everything is complicated. Everything, you know, like that. So many problems start from here. You're in the material mode. Oh, yeah. Why this, you know, like, yes, there's some cake for lunch, but why this cake and not that cake? Why, I don't know, why there's this sabji and not other sabji, you know, and why always rice and dal, you know, like, I don't like rice and dal. Why always rice and dal? And why, yeah, why I have to sleep there and not there? And so, there's so many problems, you know, like they come up. And then you try to fix them. You find this solution, that solution, this, that, this. It doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? Because you cannot. We were talking yesterday about Padayatra, one of the ideas which came up was a spiritual solution for material problems. So that's what we're offering, actually. We're not, and we can try material solutions for material problems for thousands of years, you know, like this solution will do this. Maybe it helps a bit, you know, like, but it doesn't work. Because what's actually missing is spiritual solutions. So if you forget this, then everything is a mess. It's meant to be. So because it was Nisimha Chaturdashi this week, I always like to read about Lord Nisimha and mostly about Prahlad Maharaj. So I have Prahlad Maharaj, who is like Srila Prabhupada was speaking about great personalities in this purport. And Prahlad Maharaj is such a personality. And he has his, if you read about Prahlad Maharaj, then you're like, for me it's really inspiring because sometimes I think I'm a devotee, you know. And then I read about Prahlad Maharaj, I'm like, oh my God. I mean, I want to be like that. I would really like to be like that. And I would like, that's somehow a role model, someone I would like to follow. Of course, I mean, what can I follow? You know, it's a joke. But anyway, so you have Prahlad Maharaj, and you have these famous prayers by Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nisimha. And Lord Nisimha, usually when Krishna comes in any incarnation, first question is, what do you want? What benediction do you want? And there's this famous prayers by Prahlad Maharaj. And Prahlad Maharaj says, I don't want anything material. I'll just read these two texts. He says, O best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I'm fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. So he says, I don't want anything. I really don't need anything. I'm just thinking of you, so I don't care. You know, I don't care what's for prasadam today. So, but he says, I have a great concern. I have something that is, you know, it's on my mind. And he says, my concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, society, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. So Prahlad Maharaj is concerned. He said, oh, I see all the, I'm going on the streets of Ljubljana, And I see all these crazy people who are just wasting their time. So what can I do for them? That's his concern. And of course, the next part, he says, "My dear Lord Nisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others." So this is Prahlad Maharaj is criticizing this mentality that we might have sometimes. Yeah, my life is good. I don't care. So he says, "As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet." So Prahlad Maharaj is really thinking, what can I do for these fools and rascals of Ljubljana? Of course, he's not in Ljubljana, so he's thinking probably also. So he's just seeing people, and he's like, what can I do for these people? And actually, this is Prahlad Maharaj is just mirroring the mood of Krishna. Krishna in his different incarnations. There's these discussions Lord Chaitanya has with Haridas Thakur. So Lord Chaitanya is asking there Haridas Thakur, he says, "How will these Yavanas be delivered? To my great unhappiness, I do not see any way." So the same concern, same unhappiness that Prahlad Maharaj feels is exactly the same unhappiness Lord Chaitanya is feeling. How can I... I'm unhappy to see these people suffering. So that's Lord Chaitanya's answer. And in this purport, Srila Prabhupada elaborates so many things. I'll just read some parts of the purport because it's really instructive. Because he says, Srila Prabhupada says, this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya, and if we are followers of Lord Chaitanya, we should adopt the same mood. That's the idea. She says, those who are following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should take the Lord's missions most seriously. Most seriously. In this age of Kali, people are gradually becoming less than animals. Nevertheless, although they are eating the flesh of cows and are envious of Brahminical culture, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considering how to deliver them from this horrible condition of life. And then he says, thus he asks all Indians to take up his mission. And then he quotes this verse. One who has taken his birth as a human being in the land of India should make his life successful and work for the benefit of all other people. Sometimes you meet these Indians who come in Ljubljana, and you ask them, like joking, why they come here. They come to learn how to drink beer. and how to smoke and whatever, eat meat and whatever, stupid thing. But Lord Chaitanya says it's the duty of Indians to go out and preach. Sometimes I jokingly ask Indians, hi, hello, you're from India? Yes, yes. Oh, you come here to preach Bhagavad Gita? No, come on, let's forget it, you know, like. So it's the duty of Indians, but of course it's not only Indians, you know. Like sometimes I tell them, you know, you're Indians, you know. I'm doing your job; it's your duty to do it, and I'm helping you. So please, at least help me, you know. Like at least do something. So yeah, that's He says, all Indians should help the Krishna consciousness movement in its progress to the best of their ability. Then they will be considered real followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, this statement is not does not apply only for Indians. It's like, oh, these Indians, if they preach, they will be real followers, and these Westerners who preach, if they, yeah, what to do? And so he says, this key phrase, I'll just finish with this. One who identifies himself as a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should feel like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, how will all these yavanas be delivered? So yeah, that's Srila Prabhupada's words. So he says that if we are considered true followers of Lord Chaitanya, then we will think, how will these crazy people of Ljubljana be delivered? So that's why this Harinam Sankirtan, this is sometimes so underestimated. So this Harinam Sankirtan is an expression of this Lord Chaitanya's mood of how will all these crazy people of Ljubljana be saved. So yeah, that's what we're doing. Okay, so that's some meditation for the Harinam today. Okay, if there are some questions, concerns.
You know, you were mentioning about Krishna is not interested in our material things, that we may have the best of anything. I don't know, we may have the best television or best anything. The only thing he's interested in is our devotion service. Of course, the Lord protects the body also sometimes, because we have to carry on with our mission, you know, with this body. So I was just a comment. It's something to add to this. I was just thinking that sometimes we may think that, oh, I have the best house or the best, I don't know, partner or the best something, and Krishna is attracted to these things. But that's true, what you said. He's not interested in all these things. And also, Gurudev says that if our minds are completely engaged in Krishna's service, then we are not so much bothered by material things or discomforts in our lives, you know. And also, some senior devotee told me once that the more genuine spiritual taste that we have, we are less likely to have more attachments to material things or comforts in life, the higher taste we have of spiritual understanding and spiritual life. Actually, I was thinking about this verse from Nectar of Instruction. Maybe if I can read this one. This atyahara priyasascha prajalponiyama graha janas sangascha lolyamscha sadbir bhakti vinashchati. So one's devotion service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities: eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required, over endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain, talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations of scriptures and working independently or whimsically, associating with worldly-minded people, persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, and becoming greedy for mundane achievements. Yeah, that's all. That was the comment.
Yeah, that's sense gratification. Is this forms of sense gratification is destroying the determination to practice. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. In the minds of those who are too much attached to sense gratification, the steady determination for devotional service does not take place. There's no place. There's field. Like, it's field. So if you have sense gratification, is destroying devotional service. What to speak devotional service? What to speak of preaching? If there's sense gratification, if that's the mood, then there's no discussion about preaching. You know, like there's so that's We should be very attentive to sense gratification. As soon as we increase this sense gratification will only bring more sense gratification. So, yeah. That's, and then there's no more devotional service. So, yeah. That's an important point. And about, you know, like this body, I don't know, you know, like sometimes, yes, of course, we should take care of this body because it's used for serving Krishna. But eventually this body will break down, you know, like, I'm sorry, you know, like, sometimes you come to Krishna consciousness and, you know, like, your health doesn't improve. And this doesn't mean you don't have to do this and that. You do it, but somehow it doesn't improve. So what, you know, like? You know, like, this means you're not, you should still have this consciousness, you know, like, wait, I had this, at one time, Srila Prabhupada was probably not very, in such a good place, not such a good health, and they were trying to slow him down. Like, you've done your thing, you know, slow down. And then Srila Prabhupada said, look, I want to have this benediction to die on the battlefield like Arjuna. So this is the mentality of a devotee. He's not thinking, oh, yeah, my body is breaking down, what to do? But you can see examples of devotees like that, you know, like, they're barely moving, their health is like, but they want to serve, because what else is there to do, you know, like? I can take care of my health, you know. I take care, of course, but what else is there to do? If I can't serve, you know, like, what's the point?
One example is Jayapadaka Maharaj.
Yeah, there's many examples. You just have to look around, you know, like, what is there to do, you know? So, yeah. Anyway. Okay. Thank you so much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.